for the next 2 weeks. Well, good morning, and if you were here recently, I promised a sermon about heaven on my last Sunday next week, but now we're going to talk about heaven for 2 weeks, because ultimately, heaven is what this is all about. Our lives are, we were created for a relationship with God, to be with Him, to be in His presence. Church, what we're doing here is trying to make disciples so that one day more of God's children can be in heaven, and heaven is where you're supposed to end up as a follower of Jesus. And just thinking about, you know, how life goes, and we're going to try to stay connected with a lot of you, but for some of us that may not happen, and I could or you could be called home at any time, we don't know. And really, guys, heaven is our home. And heaven is where we want to end up, and it's where I'm going to end up, praise God. And it's just a place where you want to make sure that you get there. So we're going to talk about heaven for 2 weeks. And so real quick, today we're going to start out with kind of three things about heaven for talking about kind of you keeping your mindset on things above. We're going to go over some verses. And then next Sunday, if you've ever been curious or you have people as believers who ask you, hey, in heaven, is there going to be pizza? Am I going to get to play golf? Am I going to get to, like, play catch with my kids? All that kind of stuff. We're going to talk about that next Sunday. So if you've ever been curious, and I don't claim to have all the answers because the Bible says heaven's too great to even begin to imagine. But we're going to talk about that next week. So today, let me just start. And the Bible is full of verses, but there's just four or five verses I want to start with. Isaiah 25 says, He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove His people's disgrace from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. In that day they will say, surely this is our God. We trusted in Him and He saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in Him. Let us rejoice and be glad in His salvation. He will remove His people's disgrace. So any sin that you've struggled with will be removed. Death will be swallowed up forever. God will take away sadness. It's going to just be incredible. Next verse, please. Colossians, we're said and we're reminded, since we've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Revelation says this. It says, never again will they thirst, never hunger or thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Revelation goes on again in chapter 21. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. Jesus told us in John that He's going to prepare a place for us. He said, my Father's house has many rooms. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. And guys, our lives have become about many things, but the reason you breathe today and exist is for a relationship with God that your sin separated you from, that this world that is broken under the curse of sin has separated you from. And that being said, Jesus is the only way to make that right. Jesus is the only way that we're going to get to heaven. I don't care what the world says. And even some organizations that call themselves churches are now saying other things and other ways and going against the word of God. But Jesus is the only way. And He loves you. It is a gift of God, your salvation and your faith in Jesus Christ, if you will accept that. Well, let's talk about heaven. Most of you here today have probably lost loved ones. You've experienced loss in your life. You probably think about your own mortality often, or at least some, maybe. I mean, let me ask you, if you go to cross the street today, I bet you'll look both ways, because I bet you're not ready to go yet, right? You think about death. It probably pops up at times. Well, how often do you think about heaven? Now, I'll be honest, it's not something I probably maybe think about enough, but I'm wanting to do better about that, because you guys need to remember and understand that heaven is your home. It's not what your address is. My home is not 738 East Penn Street. My home is not about to be Huntington, Indiana. My home is in heaven with my Heavenly Father. And His presence and what that will be like, let me put a caveat out there for today and next week. I can't do justice. I have the Word of God to go on, but even the Word of God says that eye has not seen nor ear heard, and that it's unimaginable, almost even sinful to try to think about what heaven will be like. But we're gonna do our best and talk about it anyway. So the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Nothing you've ever experienced in this life, the best of the best of the best of this life, is not even in the universe of what heaven will be like. We can't even begin to imagine. But if you're here this morning, again, let's be honest, you probably don't think about heaven a whole lot. And I think there's reasons for that. I think that, you know, life can just be life. But as believers, though, we shouldn't be too focused on this life. Even the great things, kids and grandkids and family and all these wonderful things, we need to understand that we're supposed to keep our minds set on things above. And so maybe the images you've seen of heaven, maybe you're just confused. Maybe you think heaven's going to be boring. Maybe you're like, heaven, you know, I don't know if it sounds that great. I kind of like life here. I don't think that's a good mentality to have, and the Bible warns us against that. And so today I just want to go over three quick reasons, three things that you as believers, if you're taking notes, write these down. We're going to go over these three, and then next week we're going to talk about a little glimpse of what I think and what I think the Bible leads us to what heaven will be like. But to go back to that verse, to set your mind on things above, you will have further peace and further joy when you keep your mindset on things above. When we pour too much of our emotion, too much of our focus, too much of our mental capacity into just this life, and I've got these plans. Let me tell you a great spiritual gauge, and maybe I'm weird. I mean, I know I'm weird. But I will be driving down the road, or I'll be sitting at home times, or I'll be in the office, and I'll be like, man, I hope Jesus comes back today. And if you're really walking with Christ and you're plugged into the vine and he's your Lord and he has your heart, you're going to hope that. And even especially at the good times of life, I always ask myself, do I want Jesus to come back today? Because if I don't, I'm probably off focus. Well, I do, but I got these plans. We have these plans for the kids and this is going on. I don't want to miss this. And, you know, maybe Jesus can come back when I'm old. Let me live my life first. That's probably, I realize, not a good way for me to think, because when Jesus comes back, we're going to get to be with him. We're not going to struggle anymore. There'll be no more death or sorrow or pain. There's going to be judgment, which we have passed from because of what he did for us. And we will praise him forever. We will be with our loved ones and with each other forever. And I think that's something to look forward to. There'll be no more of the things of this life that cause us pain and suffering, etc. And so this morning, three reasons why I think we should think about heaven more. Number one, thinking about heaven more reduces our attraction to this world. Now, I'm not one who thinks, oh, the world is everything's evil. There's evil in the world is fallen and broken. But, you know, there's a lot of things in life that can be either good or bad. You think about food or money or even like our sexuality. These are things that, if handled well, are good, but also they can be very bad if we live sinfully or we ignore God or we ignore his word. And so if we think about that, I say that to say this, we live in an age now where we have a lot of advances technologically, right? And I don't think Facebook or any of that stuff is inherently bad. It's how we use it. Look at technology. You know, I have a smartphone and we have an iPad or whatever, and those aren't bad, but they can be bad because I can just numb myself with them 5-6 hours a day and I don't spend time in the word. I'm too busy. Well, I'm too busy. A lot of times, let's be honest, some of y'all that don't have time for the word, you're too busy doing things that aren't really that important. And as believers, what's more important than time at Jesus' feet and time in his word? So the things of this world that aren't inherently even bad, for example, you know, family. Look at family. Look at kids. I mean, you know, some people, you know, y'all are in church about half the time because the kids have so much going on, you can't make it. I don't think that's good. I think that having children is a gift from God. I think that being busy is not a bad thing, but if it keeps us from the Lord or is something that's put in his place, that's called an idol. And so the things of this world, there are idols all around us if we're not careful. They can be things that are either inherently good, bad, or neutral. But when we think about heaven more, when we remember that we are just pilgrims here in this world, when we remember that our citizenship is in heaven, our attraction to this world and all the things that distract us from God will reduce. The Bible says, and we know, this world is temporary. These bodies are temporary. Philippians says our citizenship is in heaven. So we eagerly await our Savior. We await Jesus. That's what we do. And so I would just encourage you to not fall too in love with the world. Don't get so caught up in this life and in maybe your successes or in the things of this life that you forget where your home is and where you're going. We need to have an eternal perspective and think about heaven more. And when you see people you know don't know Jesus, you need to think about, unless something changes, what they have in store. And that needs to break your heart, needs to motivate you, should cause you to want to love him more. It should remind you that as a church, we have to take our job very seriously. Don't fall too in love with this world. The Bible says in 1 John says that don't love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. Because the world and its desires pass away, but whoever does God's will lives forever. Don't get too caught up in loving the world. Remember and think about heaven more. Now, how many here would like to be, would like to get less upset? You don't have to raise your hand. Would you like to just have more peace? Would you like to let things bother you less? I mean, we can all say yes to that. Keeping your mind focused on things above, thinking about heaven more, reminding yourself, this is not even my home. This is not all that there is. As a matter of fact, this is a broken version of what is meant to be. This is a plan B, C, D, E. This is not God's plan A, this broken world. That will cause you to get less upset. Maybe you've got a job situation going on, or you've been affected by, or maybe you've been through a divorce, or you're having money problems, or whatever it is. You've got someone in your life that just causes you stress, and maybe they're mean or hateful or whatever it is. You're less likely to get upset. You're less likely to make bad decisions. You're less likely to get thrown off track when you remember that this world is fallen. Your home is heaven. You are here as God's ambassadors to the world. You have a home that will be perfect. There'll one day be no more of this brokenness or no more of this mess. And that should bring a smile to your face. That should be encouraging. That should change and affect how you behave. Because I believe that to follow Jesus as Lord means that we have more of an eternal perspective. We shouldn't be like other people who just everything's about right here and right now. We understand, because you know what else that'll help you do? That'll help you sacrifice. That'll help you understand that it's not just about what you want and what makes you happy right here, right now. That's not the model that Jesus gave us. He gave us a model of pouring out himself and his life and thinking of others first. Thinking about heaven more will reduce your attraction to this world. Number two, thinking about heaven more as well will give you a permanent hope and peace regardless of what happens in your life. Sometimes life just happens. Most of you here, and maybe all of us here today, we either have or are dealing with some sort of grief or some sort of shame or guilt, or there's, I'm sure, a lot of pain in the room today. Maybe there's some bad health or a bad health report you recently got, or a loved one who is failing, or whatever it is. But guys, you've got to remember that God never intended us to live in such brokenness or darkness. God intended us to live in fellowship with Him, in His very presence. But what do? We do just like Adam and Eve. When the world was perfect, sin hadn't entered yet, God was right there with them. They sinned, they fell short, they made excuses, they ran from God. If you're here today and you haven't accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, God wants you to stop running from Him. He doesn't care where you're at or what you've done. He wants you to come to Him. There's nobody good enough. There's nobody good enough. But God is a God of grace, and that's why He sent Jesus. The brokenness and darkness that we live in, the sin that we live in, is not how we're intended to live. And Jesus came to not only forgive us of our sins, to free us from the power of sin in our life right now, and ultimately to save us from our sins for all of eternity so that we can be right with God. But you can be right with God today, but the world will still be broken. Jesus said, in this world you'll have troubles, but I've overcome. So I want you to understand that thinking about heaven more gives you more hope and peace, because you recognize this just isn't how things are meant to be. Because sometimes things happen in life. There are losses. There are things that just happen. You can't say, well, that was my sin that caused that. It's just why are there accidents and natural disasters and all the things in this world? Because this brokenness is not how we're meant to be. And one day that won't be the case anymore. If you're struggling, or you struggle, maybe you struggle with depression, and there might be other things you need to do, but these next verses we're going to put up in a moment, I would encourage you to put up on your fridge, or maybe on your steering wheel, or whatever it might be. In the first century, there was a church in Corinth, and they were going through some hard times, and God gave Paul these verses to write. It says this. It says, we know that God who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us with Jesus and present us to Himself together with you. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now, rather we fix our gaze on the things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. You know, those verses are, that's so true. This is why we never give up. These bodies are dying. I don't care how young and fit you are. I used to be young and fit too. Your bodies are dying and wasting away, but our spirits are being renewed every day. And I probably said this before, so here we go one more time with the grandpa story. But me being grandpa who tells the same story over and over. I noticed when I was younger and I was raised in church, and even when I was prodigal and away from God, but especially these last 10 years or so, that I see a lot of people with joy, but it seems to be older people who have the most joy. People who've been walking with Jesus a long time. And I'm like, how is that? You're old. Stuff has to hurt. Like, you don't, you know, maybe do as much as you used to or get out as much. Or I'm like, what do you have to look forward to? You're getting up there, you know? But God, all joking aside, has spoken to me that the people who have walked with Jesus and continued faithfully in their walk with him, he is renewing their spirit every day. And some of the most joyful people I've ever known are people who are older. I can look at people in my life here, back where we're from, et cetera. You know, my grandpa passed a couple years ago, and his last few years, he was kind of just stuck at home. His eyesight faded, et cetera. He never lost his joy. And even in his last weeks when he had to be in the nursing home, he's like, this isn't my home. He knew where his home was. We had a saint of the church, and I'll be respectful, but who went home within the last year or so. I'll never forget one time looking up at one of his loved ones and said, see you in heaven. He knew. My grandma's 93 years old, and she doesn't get around real well, but man, her joy just never goes away. She still sends me cards all the time just talking about heaven and talking about how good the Lord is. And that has nothing to do with because I know these people. It's because they faithfully walked with Jesus. And so their spirits are being renewed. They're thinking about heaven more, not just because they might be a little older, but that thinking about heaven more brings them joy. There's going to be a glory that will vastly outweigh the troubles of this life, and that will last forever. See, the things of this world, especially if there's sin or there are things keeping you from God, those things are going bye-bye. But if you'll give your heart and life to Jesus, you can have joy and contentment and purpose and really beyond your wildest imagination for all of eternity. There's an old expression that says, don't miss heaven for the world. And boy, if the things of this world are keeping you from Christ, you are missing out and you're going to miss out. And God loves you and does not want that. That breaks his heart. We're promised that one day God will make all things new and all things right. Romans 8:11 says that if the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, if you're a Christian, a follower of Jesus, he who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. See, that beginning of that redemption, that being made one day will be like Jesus, will be perfect and right, that can actually start right now in this world by you giving your heart and life to Jesus and choosing to follow him. Thinking about heaven gives us permanent hope and peace regardless of what we're going through. And our third and final thing this morning is thinking about heaven satisfies our desire for something more. Listen, there's not a one of you in here. Most of you, I hope, are followers of Jesus. Even if you're not, you're just kind of here today. We welcome you. I thank God you're here. Even if you haven't yet made that decision, you know that there's more. Even in the best times of life, we're never fully satisfied. We always know there's more. The Bible says God has put eternity in the human heart. We know there's more. We know this life isn't it. We know that we're going to spend eternity one place or the other. We know there's more. We know that there's more. And at the bad times of life, if it's a tough time for you, man, what if this were it? How sad. How sad that you're born, you live a while, and you die, and that's it. But that's not the case. We know that there's something more. And be careful about doing the thing that is our human nature as well. That, you know, here's what we do. I'll be happy when this happens. I'll be happy if. I'll be happy when. So you put that on your spouse or your kids or whatever it might be. If they will stop doing this, then I'll finally be content. If they will start this, then I'll be happy. Once we get this done or we get this bill paid off, guys, those things never ultimately satisfy. You get a little bit of, all right, this is great. But there's still always that yearning for more. And Jesus says the only way to ever be truly full or to not thirst is to drink from me, he said. Give me your heart and life. He said, read and live by and in my word and you'll be satisfied. And I can tell you, I've unfortunately tried most of what this world has to offer and it doesn't satisfy. Only Jesus satisfies. And only at times when I am right with him and my walk with him, am I truly content, do I truly have peace. Thinking about heaven satisfies our desire for something more. You guys know you were made for more than what this world has to offer. And if you fooled yourself into thinking differently, you still know better deep down. Because God has put eternity in our hearts. Romans 8:23 says this. It says, we also have the first fruits of the Spirit because we groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for adoption for the redemption of our body. See, if you're a follower of Jesus, if you're walking with him, you know that there's more, and you yearn for that. I yearn, and you know, I'm not ready to go home today, I don't think, but I yearn for things to be made right, for there to not be sin and death and disease and sorrow and pain, for there to not be sin struggles and all these things that we go through in life. And even in the midst of all that, we know that something's not right. And if you're not a believer here today, this next quote is from a Christian author. He's written a lot of great books. And I love this quote about just that yearning for more, that knowing that something's not right. It's from C.S. Lewis, and it says, "Creatures aren't born with desire unless satisfaction for those desires exist. A baby feels hunger, well, there's such a thing as food. A duckling wants to swim, well, there's such a thing as water. Men feel sexual desire, well, there's such a thing as sex. If I find myself a desire in which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. If none of my earthly pleasures can satisfy it, that doesn't prove that the universe is a fraud. Probably earthly pleasures were never meant to satisfy, but only to arouse, to suggest the real thing." C.S. Lewis said that. And let me just intro into our next Sunday's message. Hallelujah is right about that. Is that anything you think is good in this world, and I'm talking not sinful, but good, part of God's good plan, it's nothing compared, because it's still part of the brokenness. And heaven's going to be so much better, so unimaginable. There is nothing in this world that is even in the ballpark of what heaven will be. It's only, all the things in this world only suggest the real thing. Because right now, we're not in God's presence. We're not living in perfect bodies. We're not living sinless lives. We're not living in the light in his presence that we were made for. I love that quote because it's so true, and it reminds me. It helps me with temptation. It's like the sin, the stuff I think is going to give me, make me happy for a moment, or it's not. And if it's sin, it's actually going to do the opposite eventually. If you're living in sin, it is ultimately going to separate you from God for all of eternity. And it's going to cause you problems in this life unless you turn from it. And that's the beauty of following Jesus. It's not that I'm perfect, but it's if I happen to slip or stub my toe, it's there's the Spirit. There's people in my life. There's, whoa, what are you doing? And God is graceful and merciful to help us and forgive us and get us back on track, because this world is not going to satisfy. Dan, we're going to close in just a moment. We're going to baptize. And I put that quote up there to talk about and kind of segue into next week, is again, I'm going to give kind of my version of what I think heaven's going to be like and try to break it into some terms that we can understand, so maybe we'll be more excited about heaven. But I want to close this morning with just telling you, maybe Scripture tells you to set your mind on things above, because setting your mind on things here and now only eventually leads to greater emptiness. Boy, if you're so focused on this life, and maybe it's your career or money or things or people or relationships or pleasures or sports, or most of those things are not inherently bad at all, but when those are your focus, you're not going to be satisfied. Setting our minds, especially as believers, on things on this earth is only going to lead to emptiness. But when we set our mind on things above, God gives a perspective and a peace and a joy and a contentment and a purpose that if you've never experienced, I want to tell you this morning, you're only going to experience it in having and starting a relationship with Jesus Christ. He's the way. He's the way. So next Sunday, we're going to talk about some details about heaven. In just a moment, we're going to sing. If you're getting baptized, you can go ahead. Would you guys stand with me this morning? If you're being baptized, go ahead and head back. And we're going to sing. And as we sing, you're welcome to come and pray if you would like. Also, once we're done singing, we had a young man get baptized this week that couldn't be here today. We're going to watch the video of that baptism as well. But guys, before we worship, would you bow your heads and let me pray with you? Father God, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your love, for your grace and mercy, Lord, for the truth that is your word. I pray, Lord, for everyone here. If there's any here that don't know you, that have never experienced, Lord, just the release, the healing, the joy, the burden that is lifted when they pray to you, when they pray to you in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to forgive them of their sins, and they commit to following you with their life, Lord. What a monumental moment that is, not only now, but especially for all of eternity, just like baptism. This is wonderful here today, but Lord, we will in glory for all of eternity be thankful that we have put our faith in you, that we've decided to repent, turn from our sins, believe in you, and be baptized. And God, for everyone here today, I pray, Lord, you would help them to have a more eternal perspective, to set their mind on things above. And for the believers that are too caught up in this life, Lord God, would your Spirit convict them right now to say, hey, It's not about you. It's bigger and better and greater, and it's eternal. So, Lord God, if we've just put all of our stock in this life and we're forgetting about, Lord, others and the poor and the less fortunate and those we know that are lost in sin, and Lord, whatever it might be, Lord, would you, Heavenly Father, let your church remember that, Lord God, it's an eternal weight of glory. It's all about you. It's all about eternity that one day we'll go into, and maybe it's today, maybe it's a while, but God, eternity is forever, and it's going to be better than we can possibly imagine. That's why it's called heaven. God, we love you. We thank you. Bless now as we sing and as we share in baptisms together in Jesus' name. Amen.
Draw me closer.